land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Into the show, second hour on this Tuesday, July 16th, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this time slot, Ian Murphy. He's the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chuck and Randy.
Wanted to ask you about your participation in the debate this past Thursday that we did there at the Ellison Place. And I want to thank you, by the way, for coming and being prepared with some great questions. What was your overall impression of the debate and your takeaway from it?
Well, you know, I appreciate you putting on an event, you know, not just for our district, but for multiple districts and for multiple candidates. It's unfortunate that it seems that only one side of every debate sort of showed up. That's unfortunate. No world did I expect everyone to show up that you had invited, but it sure would have been nice to see, you will, for these candidates. Oops. And these positions.
Right. Well, one of the things that was interesting, the candidates that didn't show up, most of them current elected officials, number one. Number two, the one congressman, Jack Bergman, who endorsed the candidate, Parker Fairburn, they both didn't show up. And let me ask you this question. With the questions coming from you and the other panelists that were made up of county chairs and Dare Rendon, the first congressional district chair, without me asking any of the questions, do you feel it was a very fair format, the way we structured it and had the questions come from you folks?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the only thing, again, not having the other candidate there is difficult. So it's hard to get. I mean, I think you did the best that you could, given that each of those, I mean, you basically had to sub in for every debate and every question. You kind of had to do the best that you could. And of course, it's difficult to not want to interject some of your own opinion in that. But that's what happens. And to me, and you said it a minute ago, you know, these, most of the people that didn't show up for this forum are elected officials. And to me, this is one of my biggest issues. And it was brought up in the debate that when these folks get elected, they sort of just disappear. They don't really come back and care about their district too much. They're not spending much time in the district, as it seems that some of these candidates and past people used to do. But it just seems like once they get elected to Lansing, they're gone. They don't really care about us here back home that got them elected. and don't really care about our issues that are most important to us. They care about the issues that get them onto committees and get them elected again and all these other things. So it's unfortunate that these other candidates did. So I'm not trying to pick on just one. I'm kind of picking on them all. Sure. I guess they felt like they could afford to not be there. And in a way, I sort of understand that it's gross, but that's my interpretation of it when they don't show up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and like I said, I explained it on the air. In the invitation we sent out to them, we emailed it to each one of their offices. We told them flat out, Trucker Randy is not going to be asking the questions. You know, I did not instruct you in any way, shape, or form to come up with any of the questions you had written down on your notepad. Those were all things, research and questions you asked that you did on your own.
Yeah, and in fact, it's quite the opposite. I mean, we got together and figured out the best questions to ask. We're not all asking the same questions.
Right.
So it was quite the opposite of that. But again, apparently they felt that they didn't need to show up.
Short break, a word from our sponsors. We're going to continue with Ian Murphy, the Iron Pig Smokehouse. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Tyler Gorrell, your Republican candidate for Tuscarora Township Trustee. I was born and raised in Indian River, and I know the issues that we face. I'll use my business experience to support maintaining and improving infrastructure, encouraging affordable housing and development that benefits all our citizens. And I will never vote for new taxes. Vote for Tyler Gorrell, Tuscarora Township Trustee in the Republican primary on August 6th. Paid for by the committee to elect Tyler Gorrell Trustee.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, with Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse talking about the debate event we participated in last Thursday. And Ian, I want to thank you last minute for you to bring video equipment and videotaped the entire event. You're in the process of editing and producing, broken down by each race, the first congressional district, the 107th, 106th, 105th, putting it out there on your Iron Pig FuelCastTV.com's platform. Greatly appreciate you doing that. It takes a lot of time and effort to put these videos together, so I want to thank you for doing that. One of the candidates, Neil Frisky, actually wants to put out a mailer to the entire 107th and direct them to your website to get them to watch the very first House district, which was the one we did right away after Congress. My thought is this. I want to ask you this question. Do you think that this event generated enough interest, even though the crowd was limited to Alpenfest? Christian Marcus, actually, him and his wife Annette King, dressed up from being at the Alpenfest event. The timing you mentioned wasn't perfect. We'll try to do it again in 2 years, maybe outside of Alpenfest. My question is this. Do you think this is a valuable service that we started, this tradition of doing this every 2 years with the candidates?
I do. It's always a worthy cause when you provide a platform for candidates, for elected officials in general, to be able to come out and talk to their constituents, be able to ask them questions. Transparency in government is so lacking these days. And conversations with constituents are so broad and vague and ambiguous, it gets kind of boring and what kind of puts people to sleep. And we need to get back to citizen legislators again, in my opinion, make them part-time, actually. They would probably disagree with it, which is why you'll never see them vote themselves a pay decrease or any of those kinds of things. It's always the opposite. But I think that, yeah, there were, you know, some scheduling conflicts. There was also a great worship service here in town that was going on that night. So it that did play a part in it. But I do, you know, you've got to start somewhere, right? You know, when we started doing festivals a couple of years ago, you know, we're kind of like, well, this is, you got to start somewhere, and you kind of invest into these things to begin with. Allison Place is a great venue. It may be too big. I'd like to think that hopefully in the future, we'll have a better venue for you. And I say we as in the Iron Pig. So I think you, I think you did a great thing. And I think that all you got to do is just keep doing it, moving it forward, keep inviting the people, and putting it out on video also will help as well.
Right. We're going to get this one out. In the future, I think what it needs to be done is earlier, we'll make sure that we communicate to make sure it doesn't conflict with Alpenfest and other, you know, events happening with churches. It was a Thursday night. I thought it was pretty safe doing it on a Thursday versus a Wednesday night, when a lot of churches have Bible study and things like that. But, yeah, that other church event conflicted with Alpenfest. It really hurt attendance. But I think what we'll do is probably move it earlier, like right after maybe the candidates turn in their signatures, get on the ballot. That was done in late April, May, maybe even, you know, before summer kicks off. Long before the primary, I think is going to be the better way to do it. Like you say, maybe May, late May, before Memorial Day, after in June, whatever. But we're going to definitely continue. This was the first one. We're going to do it again in 26. And I hope you can be a part of it. And like you say, we might have a better venue, a little bit more of an intimate setting. Diane did a great job, kind of corners off in an area there. Had set up way too many chairs. I didn't know, you know, what size of crowd to expect. We had been talking about it, promoting it on the radio. I didn't know if we were going to have 300-400 people show up. I didn't know, you know, what the number was going to be. But it was a good event. We appreciate Allison Place. And like you said, maybe we'll have a better venue going forward. I want to get into the Iron Pig right now as far as Alpenfest is over. This is becoming now the dog days of summer. We're going to be very soon, hopefully getting in the 80s and 90s. Golfers are coming. A lot of people are visiting up here in northern Michigan. What is the foot traffic like now that Alpenfest is over? What are we seeing? Are we maintaining a pretty good tourism season so far based on the numbers, what you're seeing there at the Iron Pig?
Yeah, I'll tell you, July and August are just bangers for us. You know, 4th of July weekend, usually for restaurants, 4th of July is not terribly busy because so many people are out grilling. It's a natural thing to do on 4th of July.
Sure.
For some reason, the Iron Pig, we are just extremely packed. So it starts up for us, off for us, July 4th. Through that holiday weekend, through Alpenfest, and it just keeps on building and building through the summer. It's incredible. We've got, you know, our block, when we moved in 7 years ago, we just had our seven-year anniversary beginning of this month. Again, another thing that just kind of builds for July. You know, our block was pretty dead. There wasn't a lot of retail going on here. Now we have so much energy with the great t-shirt shop next to us, wonderful little craft store, a couple doors down, a bookstore right next to us. There's great energy here on this side of the block, and this was probably one of our most successful Alpenfests. We do get choked off a little bit, but I'll say the city of Gaylord's doing a pretty good job of keeping it nice downtown. We've got Friday night music that's free in the park across the street. We have twice a month, Fridays we have a car show. Sundays we have that same car show. There's just got a lot of great things going on right here downtown. And we're just five blocks off the freeway, and it doesn't seem like it when you get over here. But that freeway is so close by. Our nice little downtown is so quaint. And we've got a great big patio out front. We actually just moved the patio that was out back for Alpenfest. We put out front, so picnic tables out there now. We've never had that before. It's awesome. This is my favorite time of year. I love winter, but boy, I sure do love it when it's busy and there's lots of people from out of town. I don't think I've ever seen and heard quite so many people from out of town, like out of state, I mean, during Alpenfest last week. So kudos to them.
Right. Well, and the other aspect of this, I think, is building, like you say, the momentum, because it was kind of funny when I was leaving the Iron Pig after our meeting, I had an opportunity to go over and meet with an engineer on a project that we'll be announcing soon here on the station. And it was amazing. He said, Randy, I couldn't believe lunch hour. You know, he's a local business. You know, his office area just basically north of you, your location. He said, but every place I went into to try to get a seat, they were packed. He said, I only have so long for lunch. And he said, so I ended up basically, you know, waiting until after the lunch rush and went back. And he said the place was still packed. And he said, man, it's amazing the transformation during the work day in downtown Gaylord, how much it's increased.
Yeah, like I said, they've done a really good job here downtown. There's a lot of energy. I don't think we've ever had this many restaurants as we do downtown, restaurants and bars. I think we're at an all-time high for that. So there's a lot going on downtown. And I love to see the foot traffic. I mean, that's what keeps these shops in business, is not just the restaurants. But the nice mixed use, right? We can't have just all restaurants and bars. We've got to have some mom and pop shops. We've got to have some office space. And finally, we're getting a really good mixed use. We've got more apartments that are coming downtown, just a couple of doors down from us. So they're putting in the effort and making this little district that we have really nice and a really great place to come and hang for a couple of hours, go across the street to Alpine Chocolate House. I mean, that's kind of where we just send people for desserts because you're so full. People want to go walk around and say, don't forget that Alpine Chocolate House. You got to get those chocolate covered potato chips. So there's a lot, there's a lot going on downtown here, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And we'll see what happens in the future. You know, we've got a lease that's coming up here in a year or so. We hope not to go somewhere, but there is opportunities for us. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens. I want to talk for an update regarding the legal battle. Any reports of any status changes, any filings, any responses to notify the people other than the one we just talked about?
Yeah, I'm laughing. There has been a brief response. So we did, I'm trying to remember if I told you this, I think I did. We did apply for a bypass application to the Michigan Supreme Court to basically jump over the Court of Appeals. That's what the Health Department did to us back in 2021. They're like, no, this is so important. Let's take it up to the Michigan Supreme Court. So we decided to do that as well. So they've actually reply briefed And they still sit there and they say, well, local governments, the separation of powers doesn't apply to local governments. I mean, that's really what they're trying to stand on. So it's extremely laughable, especially given some of the recent SCOTUS rulings that we've briefly talked about. They're in real trouble, and I think they're kind of running for the hills. And I think that's partly why the AG's office hasn't dipped in on this yet, which in my opinion they should, because it's actually state law that is enabling the local health department to do these things. So the attorney general's office, if this were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they would be salivating. We'd already have heard from an assistant attorney general. So
sure.
To me, in my opinion, they're basically leaving the little guys out in the cold and saying, well, good luck with it. You guys adjudicate that.
Now, to be clear, the opposing counsel that filed this laughable response, isn't he part of the attorney general's office, or is he a private sector attorney?
They're private sector attorneys, which are under contract by the health department of Northwest Michigan.
Got it. Okay, so it's not one of Dana Nessel's assistant attorney generals that's representing the health board.
No, and I don't know if you remember. Excuse me. I don't know if you remember, but at that health department meeting where they were running that emergency meeting.
Oh,
they
number, the retainer. Yes.
Yes. So not only that, but they also had admitted that they were in contact with the attorney general's office trying to get them to take this case because it is a state statute. Although it is the local health department that gave me the cease and desist, it's a state law. And in my opinion, the attorney general's office should be probably spending the money to do this. But at the end of the day, it's all of our taxpayer money, and none of it should be happening. But here we are, and we've got to change these things, and that's the mission that I'm on.
Well, you know, the main point that you made right there, the health department gets funding from Lansing. It's an executive branch under the full control of the governor, and appointing the health department director is done by the governor. If this is taxpayer-funded agency, they should absolutely then be representing with the attorney general instead of forcing them to go outside to get private counsel. And like you say, ultimately, we're all paying the bill anyway.
Right, and to me, this is slightly a strategic move that they did when we knocked down in 2022, 2253, the state gathering statute. They immediately, well, I shouldn't say immediately, but within 12 days, every single mask mandate case that my attorney had was basically thrown out. And what happened in that meantime, the mask mandate was dropped, which is why those cases were basically mooted out. 12 of 15 cases went away in 12 days after Hunter's ruling knocking down the state gathering statute. So in my opinion, absolutely 100%, like you said, that appointed state health director, that's where all of this came from, which enabled the local health director and the local health department to use that state statute. So in my opinion, yes, the attorney general's office should be involved in this thing, and I would love to see them come on board. Bring it. You guys have the worst arguments of them all, so let us go up against you guys, either in the Court of Appeals or Michigan Supreme Court. Okay, solid case, Randy. It's unbelievable, and I know that's why they do. I'm almost begging them to come in and dip their toes in this pond. They won't, because the vesting clause argument that's behind this entire thing is so solid, because the language is right there in our Michigan Constitution.
Thank you, God. Well, we appreciate your efforts. We appreciate you giving us updates, keeping us informed. Head over to the Iron Pig and get some food, folks. We need to contribute to their July profit report. Ian, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother.
Bomb the Hour News. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award-winning news team, covering the big stories that affect you across Michigan and throughout the region.
From Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz. Our top story this hour, the Michigan GOP's delegation at the Republican National Convention used the spotlight during Monday's roll call vote on the party's presidential nomination to target Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. When the process reached Michigan on the opening day of the convention in Milwaukee, Delegate Ann Delisle, a Republican from Genesee County, referenced Michigan as the home of the Michigan State University Spartans, the University of Michigan Wolverines, and the gas-powered auto